the absence from the assembly, I wonder how that fitted with the idea of the dialogue.
Yeah, I frequently mention that. It's called the Ukachela Sutta. I couldn't tell you where to find it, but that's what it's called. It's in a place called Ukachela that the Buddha was giving this Dhamma talk, and he makes that comment. He said, now that Sariputta and Moggallana have passed away, it's as if this assembly is empty. And I often use that because the teaching on the arrow that I mentioned a few days ago, that only refers to physical pain. The first arrow represents physical pain that's unavoidable, whether you're unenlightened or you're enlightened. Physical pain is definitely going to be a part of life. But the second arrow is the resenting, negotiating, complaining, stressing around that painful feeling. And the Buddha says that second arrow is completely avoidable. And so that is extremely helpful short teaching, the Salla Sutta. But it doesn't mention anything about emotional pain. When talking about that, people often ask about that. And so I often quote that Ukachela Sutta, that, the Buddha was able to articulate that it's the feeling that the assembly is empty because these two great companions of his has passed away. So he's feeling that, he's noticing that sense of absence, but he's not weeping and wailing, he's not complaining about it or saying anything, it's not creating suffering around that. So I feel that's a really good example of how there can be emotional pain, but the mind not making a problem out of it. So we can feel sadness or the loss of someone, or we can feel regret that there's a conflict between yourself and another and somebody else, that there can be an emotional pain. It's still painful, but the mind doesn't have to add anything to it, doesn't have to create a story around it. So there's an acknowledgement, a receiving of that, but no, not creating suffering around it, if that makes sense. Another example I often give with respect to that is when Lumpur Sumato's mother passed away many years ago. His dad had died about 6 months before, and he was visiting his mother and his sister and brother-in-law down in San Diego. And then his sister and mother came to see him off at the airport, waved goodbye, and then he flew up to the San Francisco Bay Area to then be leading a 10-day retreat. So what happened was, after they went to the airport, his mother said, I'm feeling a little bit feverish and I don't feel that well. And so his sister took her off to hospital against her wishes. I'm all right, making too much fuss. Took her to hospital, spent the night in the hospital. 6 o'clock in the morning, she was sitting up in bed. The nurse brought her a cup of tea. She said, thank you very much. Took a sip of tea, put the cup down, coughed and died. Just went that quickly. And so then we got the call from Virginia, from his sister. Could you tell Ajahn Sumato? I don't know how to get in touch with him. Can you get a message to him that his mother's passed away? My mother just died last night, this morning. So we had to track him down, and I think he was staying in Berkeley with James Baraz. And then he was going to be traveling up to lead this 10-day retreat in Santa Rosa, about an hour and a half drive north of San Francisco. So we managed to get the message to him, but he was due to begin the retreat that evening. The person who drove him up, a good friend of the Sangha, Mark Lieberman, was taking him up to the retreat. And Lumpur talked about it as well, as also Mark gave the account. Said, so Lumpur was very shocked and very sad at the death of his mother. And then during the whole of the drive from San Francisco up to Santa Rosa, about an hour and a half drive, he said, Ajahn Sumato was sitting next to him with tears running down his face. He wanted to hold my hand too, which is difficult in a stick shift car, but we managed. We found a way to do it. Very humorous fellow, Mark. But Lumpur himself talked about it, and that retreat was a lot around the death of his mother and the feelings he was experiencing. And then he had to go down to San Diego for a funeral halfway through the retreat and come back again. So I don't know if the recordings from that retreat still exist. They might be around on Dharma Seed. After that time, when Lumpur came back here, he talked about that a lot. And I've had that experience myself. You can be incredibly sad, tears running down your face, but it's completely peaceful at the same time. The emotion is there. You're not suppressing it. And interestingly enough, when I've had that experience, the more the thinking mind or the explaining mind starts to sort of wade in and say, oh, this is very interesting. Mm-hmm. The tears stop and it kind of, you sort of block the actual quality of the experience and just not letting the thinking mind interfere, then the sadness is there or the regret or whatever that painful emotion might be. It's painful, but it's totally peaceful, and there's no sense of wrongness. Mm-hmm. And in a way, one of the best definitions of dukkha is that feeling of wrongness. It shouldn't be this way, or it's not fair. It shouldn't be like this. So, like with the Buddha experiencing the assembly feeling empty with Sariputta Moggallana passed away, you know, he's not complaining about that, but he's feeling it. He's not saying it shouldn't be this way. But here it is. These people were so close and such dear and close friends and helpers and worked so closely together for so many years, and now they're gone. So here is this feeling. Not in a kind of clinical way, but I feel it's a great credit to the Theravada tradition. That kind of natural emotion is there. It's recorded in the canon. It's not sort of brushed aside like, well, the Buddha would never experience sadness. With due respect, in the northern tradition, a lot of that stuff, the kind of human qualities of the Buddha get edited out. Like if he has a disease, it's a teaching. In the sort of northern tradition, it's he's manifesting an illness for the sake of conveying a teaching. It's like in the Theravada world, no, he ate some bad food. It's just general dysentery. You know, it's not a teaching, it's just a painful illness. Or like his back pain that he had, that is... It's just ordinary human back pain. Nothing magical or mystical. It's not sort of manifesting an illness for the sake of conveying a teaching. It's like, no, they're probably the result of 6 years of intense austerities and kind of self-mortification. It's like, yeah, in those years in particular, he would have done quite a bit of damage to himself with the incredible extent of difficulty he put himself through.